The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We are back once again with the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we're discussing the top week three matchups for wide receivers by using our brand new slot versus wide analysis. That's right, folks. We have a brand new suite of all great analysis that you need. Targets by position for defenses. So if you want to know how many targets a running back gets you versus this defense, we got it. If you want to see who allows the most fantasy points to the slot versus out wide for receivers, we got it. If you're interested to see player usage data, routes run to dropbacks, routes, targets per route run, that detailed analysis all for free, you can go to razzball.com right now to get all that stuff as well. And of course, if you have start sit questions, make sure you're joining us on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel every Sunday for 3 hours, folks. That's right. We have nothing better to do for 3 hours before a kickoff than to hang out with you, apparently, and answer all your start sit questions. Just kidding. We love it, folks. 3 straight hours of start sit questions every Sunday live. So join us on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. And of course, make sure you go to razzball.com, folks. We have great articles dropping all season long. So without further ado, let's get the show started. All right, bringing in the CEO of football.razzball.com, the man, the myth, the legend, Donkey Teeth. You can find him at DonkeyTeeth87 on Twitter. What's going on, Donkey Teeth?
Yeah, what's happening, Bobby? The CEO is generous. I'm not sure what those acronyms stand for here.
Yeah.
But appreciate the intro.
No, no problem, man. Honestly, it's good to have you back. Last time, I know we've had a lot of big names coming on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel, from the Queen all the way through the Ghost of the Queen. So there's been a lot of interesting, dynamics going on over the last few weeks. So it's good to have the two guys back together again to talk about some matchups. And I know, DT, you recently just had some time of your own to get into our new tools and resources. So what was your first thoughts about the new stuff that we have on Razzball.com?
Well, I think that anytime you get a table of data, it's natural, unless you're one of those weird number people that just loves data and numbers. It's like a little bit overwhelming. Like, what does it all mean? How do I use this? What are this pile of numbers here, right? And so I think what we're going to do today is demystify a little bit of that. But it's awesome. It really is awesome. And I know, Bobby, you get very excited about everything fantasy football. But this is very exciting stuff. And the reason to me is because there's different ways to play our game of fantasy football. There's this way that, like, the mainstream sheep players will play, and there's nothing wrong with that. You put like 10 minutes of thought into it, and you come to our Sunday live show and ask us to set your whole lineup, and you beat your friends, and that's great, and we're happy to help in that way. But there's another level to fantasy football that I found much more fulfilling, where you're like critically thinking about these decisions, and you're spending time throughout the week, hopefully not too much time so that it has negative effects on your relationships and stuff like that. But when you actually start to think for yourself and look at data like this and say, I'm going to choose to start this player because of these numbers here that I see, and it makes sense to me, then you have nobody to blame but yourself if you're right or wrong. And if you're right, it feels good. It's like that process worked, and it's just a more fulfilling game like that. So I think that's what we're trying to achieve here. It may not be for everybody, but I'm sure some of the people listening today that will resonate with, and they'll see these numbers and they'll get what we're talking about and hopefully start to utilize this stuff, because it's awesome what you put together here, Bobby.
Yeah. So basically, this is where it is. This defense, a slot versus wide. What we did is essentially put a chart together. We talked a little bit about this last week quickly with myself and Sky, but today we're taking a deeper dive into the matchup. So basically, when you get to our site, you see this chart, you're going to see everything. This is just wide receiver receiving production only, folks. No rushing. If they throw a touchdown pass, it's not included in their points per game. This is strictly receiving points per game data. But the best part is we broke it out now by slot versus wide. So if you know you have a slot receiver like a Jacoby Myers, for example, we'll talk about in a little bit, or a Hunter Renfrow, those type of players that are mostly slot receivers, you can now see how many fantasy points that defense they're facing that week allows. And it might actually help you pick and choose those slot receivers versus, because those guys are mostly wide receiver threes on your roster than a typical 1-2. So I think this is a good way for you to find. Of course, you're starting your studs. This is Davante Adams, Cooper Kupp of the world. You're not worried about. But let's talk about some of the players today, DT, that we wanted to talk about. Let's get into the first one. It's actually Mike Williams versus the Jacksonville Jaguars. What's your thoughts on Mike Williams?
Well, you know I love Mike Williams. I've loved him ever since I was a young lad. I've been all about Mike Williams this preseason. So that week one was rough, but huge explosion with Keenan Allen out last week. And now he gets to face – can we pull up that data on the slot versus wide and show the people
here
what we're looking at? He's going to face the Jaguars this week, who have let up the 11th most points, fantasy points allowed, to wide receivers. So we see that down there at number 11. So right away we're starting to think, yeah, this is – we don't have a ton of sample, right? So as we get into the midseason – these numbers are going to be a little stickier, right? There's a lot of noise in them, but it's meaning. There's some meaning, you know. It's the sample that we have, and these numbers came from somewhere. So this is two games worth of data, of course.
They're somewhere. We don't even know. We're just throwing the random stuff together.
It's the start, right? There's two games worth of data that shows that the Baltimore Ravens have gotten destroyed by wide receivers. So. The higher up here, the more confidence you have, right? We see the league average there at 14, 34.7 points per game. So the Jaguars have let up a little bit more than the league average, but you see so much of that has come out wide in those two games. So is that trend going to continue? We don't know for sure, but we do know that Mike Williams is a beast. And why wouldn't he, if they got beat up two times already, and we can go dig in and see exactly who the Jaguars played in those two games off the top of the head. Who did they have last week, Bobby?
Who, the Chargers?
The Jaguars.
Oh, I don't remember.
Sorry. Anyway, that's if you want to get deeper into it, we can go back and look at who they faced and who it was that put those numbers up against. So, yeah, they didn't even have Michael Pittman, and they still put up these numbers against the Jaguars. So there you go. It was, you know, Ashton Doolin and
– yeah. Ashton Doolin, yeah.
Bunch exactly. of no-name guys putting up these numbers out wide. And so, again, we're looking at these percentages here in the slot and wide. And when you see one of these numbers being massive, like 87% of the fantasy points that the Jaguars have given up came out wide, well, instantly.
Tied for the most in the NFL right now.
Mm-hmm. So, again, we're dealing with a small sample. And as the season goes on, we're going to be more and more confident in these numbers. And they're going to reflect – you know, who really is going to get beat up this week? It's still early, but there's some level of meaning in a two-game sample still, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It just start and listen, we all understand this is early. You know what I mean? We're not saying this is going to be what it is the long term. There's injuries at play. The Baltimore Ravens, for example, have, you know, multiple cornerbacks that are dealing with injuries. If you go to sixscore.com, they're in the 60s, 50s at corner. So that's a team you want to attack over and over again. But as those guys get healthy, these numbers are going to change. The other thing that I really like about what we're talking about today is the slot versus wide percentages, because maybe a team like this is something that really helped me in week one. I know the Bills are a number one defense, but when I saw that Cooper Kupp, the Bills actually allowed a lot of fantasy points, the percentage of fantasy points to the slot, gave me all the confidence in the world to bet the overs on Cooper Kupp, and it was a hit. So these are the kind of things that, yeah, defense might be really good, for example, overall against a certain against wide receivers. They might be, you know, 15, 16 average, but if you see that they're in the top 5 or 6 in percentage, it might give you more confidence overall to play those players. Let's jump down to my guy. It's Jacoby Myers. Now, Myers is coming off, and this is just the perfect segue because we're talking about the Ravens. The Ravens are not healthy yet. And when I tell you they're not healthy, it's a disaster. If you just saw what they did last week against Waddle and Tyreek Hill. But really, when you're starting to look at the Baltimore Ravens, it's not even about – it's all – every single wide receiver is beating them up right now. It doesn't matter if you go slot versus wide. They're number one pretty much across the board. So 26.6, the most fantasy points allowed to the slot so far this season. And they're also not, still in the top 10 in rate. So they're still, not only are they seeing the most fantasy, giving up the most fantasy points to the slot, but they're also giving up top 10 in percentage. Now, Myers is coming up a very strong 9 for 95. He's a primary slot receiver. But another thing that's really important is we saw the player trends change. What I mean by that is the first week they used a lot of Johnny and Hunter Henry. In week two, they actually went to more three receiver sets. You saw more usage out of the receivers as a whole, which means that Jacoby Myers is going to play more in the slot and three receiver sets instead of being on the outside if there's two tight ends. So I like that for Myers. I like that for his matchup. And the other thing about Myers, a lot of people don't know, he's 11th among wide receivers in targets per route run. And you can check that out on the player usage tab. But he's already getting elite targets per route run. So I do love Jacoby Myers this week. Let's jump on to the next one. Another one. I mean, listen, at this point, DT, just talking about all the guys you were high on this offseason, Marquise Brown versus the Rams. Let's talk about Brown and why you like him for week three.
Well, this data, I guess we'll start with the data, right? We're looking at the numbers here, and the Rams have given up the third most points to receivers. So immediately off the bat, we've identified that as a positive. And then you look and see 80% of that has come out wide, where Marquise Brown is going to be lining up in this game. But even further outside of looking at this data here, I think it's pretty clear the numbers that we've identified that make Marquise Brown a strong play. But he actually just went up, and you and Sky talked about this last week, how the Raiders in week one had not given up. I think they had given up a lot of their fantasy points to the slot and not out wide. And a big part of that is Nate Hobbs. Nate Hobbs absolutely dominated Mike Williams in week one, seems to be a developing lockdown corner. And Marquise Brown, he was fairly resilient against Nate Hobbs. He had a pretty solid game. I was fading him last week. I was totally on board with you guys. So if he was able to do that in a tough matchup against one of the best cornerbacks in the league, likely, that just shut down Mike Williams. And then we saw what Mike Williams did in the following week. And he looked awesome. So Marquise Brown, now he gets a softer matchup, and we still don't have DeAndre Hopkins around, right? Like, he could really go off in this game. This could be just a monster explosion. Hopefully, we'll see. We'll see if this process works out for us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, like I said before, I have Marquise Brown in all my DFS lineups this week, so I am all in on this third week breakout for Marquise Brown. Plus, he's been very consistent. He just hasn't really had that big signature game yet as an Arizona Cardinal. He did catch a touchdown in week one, but the yardages haven't been there. I think this is the week in a game where the Rams should put up points. We'll see a lot from Marquise Brown. Now I'm going to talk about I'm just hopping on board the DT train, and I'm going to talk about one of your guys, DK Metcalf.
Hey, can we just stop and talk about how I was right about Tua too?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, you know, everything, the two Dolphins wide receivers so far, everything has been hitting for you right now.
No, DK has been terrible. DK was like my guy, and he has not really come home. But he's going to this week. I love it, Bobby.
Yes,
tell me why.
Yes. So first off, if you look at his matchups the first 2 weeks, he faced against the Broncos and the 49ers, and those two teams versus fantasy points allowed to outwide receivers are 29th and 21st respectively. This week he gets a matchup against the Atlanta Falcons that allowed the fifth most fantasy points to outside wide receivers. So that is key. The other thing about DK is his targets are there. He had 6 and 7 the first 2 weeks, but the yardage has not been there. It's 36 and 35. However, DK Metcalf is only one of 15 players in the NFL right now, wide receivers, that have over 90% routes run to dropbacks and a 20% target to dropback ratio. So it means he's getting targeted a lot. He's on the field running a bunch of routes. When Geno Smith drops back, DK's out there. And when he's out, you know, he's getting the targets based on how many dropbacks there are. So I do think that the game, the usage is there. The production has it. And I think it has more to do with his matchups. And this week he gets a top five matchup against the Atlanta Falcons. So I love your boy DK as a solid, probably low-end wide receiver too, and a must-start player there. All right, let's get to the next one. DT, you want to talk a little bit about those Titan wide receivers versus the Raiders?
Yeah, so this one is – and actually, if we look here, we see the Raiders are below the NFL average now because the Cardinals actually put up some numbers against them last year. We just talked about what Hollywood Brown did against Nate Hobbs. But I remember how good they were in week one. I remember them shutting down Mike Williams still, as I just talked about. And now we've got a rookie wide receiver in Treylon Burks. And we've got Robert Woods, who hasn't really done a whole lot yet this year, that have to go up against a pretty strong secondary. One of them is going to have to go up against Nate Hobbs. So I'm fading them based on that. And we still see in these numbers, it's still 74% of those 34 points per game allowed from the Raiders is coming from the slot. So yeah, I'm not looking to start anybody out wide. Who is it that's running out of the slot for the Titans?
It was Kyle Phillips in week one, but he got a shoulder injury and fumbled the punt and did not return. In week two, I actually don't know, because I know Kyle Phillips was the guy week one. Let me just pull it up for you real quick, DT.
I'm asking the tough questions here, Bobby.
I have the page open, so we're good to go. The Titans week two. Sorry, it's going to take me just a.
Where are you? Where are you looking at this? Because that's another question here for somebody that wants to come in and use this. Like, where are you finding who's running out of the slot and who's running out wide, and how often they're doing that? And can we get that into Rasball? Because I know we've got depth charts, but it doesn't identify who's running out of the slot. So that would be a cool layer if we could add that on top of on our site.
Rudy gets his data, who does our projections and stuff like that, from FTN. So he's getting a huge data feed where we're looking into that stuff. We're going to add in – we're trying to find those splits. Where I'm actually pulling the data from my charts is Pro Football Focus. So I get the information, the raw data, and then I just put together the tables on the back end myself. Last week, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine was the main slot guy. He got two targets. But, yeah, there really isn't any – Kyle Phillips would probably have been the guy, but he's out this week, so – I actually think I'm not really excited to play anybody out of the slot. It might be two tight ends. They run a lot of two tight ends. It might be Hooper as the slot guy that you want out of that offense. Like Njoku against the Pittsburgh Steelers on Thursday night.
Right. That was a good game. Right.
Yeah, I know. I don't even want to. I was so high on Njoku, and I have him in a couple leagues, which is great. But I sat him in one, and I'm just like, you know, I hate myself right now. But anyway.
You know what? I was so high on Njoku like 3 years ago.
I know. It gets bitter. He had this monster. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're going to talk about something.
That was Sterling Shepard.
Anyway, Sterling Shepard. So Sterling Shepard is someone that we both talked about before the show that we like. Now, Shepard is playing a little bit of a different role. He did play the slot receiver role pretty much his whole career. This year, he is not the primary slot guy. It's going to be Wandale Robinson when he returns, but Ricky James has been playing the slot. Shepard has been outside, which I think is better. I think they want Wandale Robinson to be the slot guy. I think that Shepard is playing ahead of guys like Kenny Golladay. We'll see what the deal is with Kadarius Toney. But Shepard is a stud in his own right. Former second-round pick. He's been a lifelong Giants fan. He's been around since the Odell Beckham years. But he's been Daniel – quietly, I don't think a lot of people know this. He's been Daniel Jones's guy when healthy. Last year he got hurt, serious injury, comes back. This guy, all he does is get targets. Like, it's insane. Last week he had double-digit targets. Week one, his first game back, he had four, barely played. He's already getting more and more usage on the field. But last week, he gets double-digit targets. The Cowboys, meanwhile, are ninth in out-wide points allowed and seventh in the percentage of points allowed to the perimeter. He in the five-fold games he played last year with Daniel Jones, he averaged 8.6 targets and 6 receptions per game. And we're starting to see the usage data go up. You go to usage data, you can actually see this, but routes run to dropbacks went up 26%. Targets per dropback up 16%. Targets per route run up 15%. So we're starting to see his usage go up. And obviously, because of the injury, he's going to be off to a slower start. But if this guy's already getting this level of usage, he's going to be a monster in the second half. So I actually love the matchup. I want to get my hands on some Sterling Shepard for this week if I can. I got him in some DFS lineups as well. All right, DT, before we close the show, anybody else or any other comments, concerns you want to bring up before we close the show?
No, I like the Shepard call. I mean, just to give the viewer a peek behind the curtain of our process, Bobby asked me for like three names that I was either buying for this week or fading based on this data that we've got here. And he asked me to give it to him yesterday. And of course, I didn't give it to him until like 10 minutes before the show. Classic donkey teeth form. But I gave him the names and he's like, well, those are the same names I had, which makes sense.
Yeah,
you know?
We
hope that people start to use this and maybe tune into the show weekly and look at this data before and see if they're coming to the same conclusions as us. And if not, we would love to hear from you in the comments on the show, in the replies about why you disagree, or if you see somebody else that we haven't identified that either you're all in on for this week because of this data, or you're fading, or if there's another detail, like as Bobby has referred to with the Ravens cornerbacks being out. I mean, that context is very useful in looking at these numbers, because This is raw data. We don't have that context of, oh, maybe these Ravens cornerbacks are all back next week and these numbers actually don't mean anything. Of course, Bobby does have that context and says they're still out. But one other thing here, Bobby, we've discussed hopefully being able to get just last week's data, either have a column in here or have it sortable or something like that, or the past 3 weeks, because that would be another super useful thing as we get a bigger sample. You know, if something has changed in the defense or guys are hurt, you can see just here's the trend of the last 3 weeks. So if our viewers have other ideas on how we can improve this, things that we can add, what would be useful to them, we'd love to hear that too, right?
Yeah, I think the other thing is really getting an understanding of, number one, how visually this will fit on the site, right? Like if we can add those columns in, I agree that we should start seeing trends. Maybe by midseason we do, the last 5 weeks instead of the whole season. Maybe like when we get to week six, we start doing the last five and we just start going from there and we don't look at the entire season, because week one might not matter as much by week 9-10 because of, like we brought up, things like the Ravens off cornerbacks being injured and playing hurt. So yeah, I agree. We'll have to. That's the best part about Razzball, folks. We talk about behind the scenes stuff live on air to figure out what's best for you, folks. We love every second of it. But that's all we got for today. This is once again the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Today's episode was defensive slot versus wide analysis. Go to Razzball.com and check out all the brand new player fantasy football data we have on there. We have slot versus wide, player usage, defense allowed. Targets by position, whatever you need to win your fantasy league. Once again, make sure you're joining us tomorrow, folks. That's right, Sunday live show, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time. So for you East Coasters, it's much more palatable at 10 a.m. But me on the West Coast, I'm up at 7 a.m. for you guys for 3 straight hours doing your start sit shows. Make sure you're joining us on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. I want to thank my co-host today, Donkey Teeth. You can find him at DonkeyTeeth87 on Twitter. We are out of here.